Dundalk Baptist Church meets at the Baptist Centre on RD Terrace. On Sunday morning, we get together at 11 a.m. for our main worship service.
On Sunday evening, we meet at 6 p.m. for Bible study.
We'd love to see you there.
And we would indeed love to see you there on Dundalk, at Dundalk Baptist Church on RD Terrace. As we said, at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning, at 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, and 7:30 on Wednesday evenings. And we have people listening in from all over the world today. Unfortunately, I don't have a map in front of me. I do know that there are a number of people listening in who get in contact with us on Facebook, who like our posts and stuff like that. So we do hope that you're enjoying the show. I know Phil is listening in all the way up in Washington State, and there are many other people listening in all across the United States and Europe as well. But we do hope that you're enjoying the show. Do get in contact with us on Heart of the Matter at DundalkFM.com or on the Facebook page, Heart of the Matter on Dundalk FM, or the Dundalk Baptist Church website on www.dundalkbaptistchurch.org, where you can podcast the sermons, the weekly sermons, or indeed stream them live, stream them to listen to them online. And you can also listen to a selection of Heart of the Matter shows as well. So we do hope that you get in touch with us here on Heart of the Matter. You can also text us here in the studio on 087-0909-791 as we continue to look at the book of James here this evening.
One of the more controversial sections of the book of James is James chapter 2. So while there are so many other, really other themes, important themes that we could look at, we're going to kind of focus on this one for the remainder of the program, because so many come to this passage in James 2 and see in it a contradiction to what Paul has taught in other of his letters about the doctrine of justification by faith alone. And then they read this chapter and they say, well, James seems to be arguing that justification is not by faith alone. Well, one of the starting points to approach this whole subject is we need to realize that just because two authors use the same terminology doesn't mean that they're talking about the exact same subject. To jump into James 2, 14 to 26 and assume a Pauline context is to ignore the first chapter and a half of the letter. James must be allowed to frame the context of the use of his words and not Paul. I love how Dr. McKnight begins his commentary on the book of James. He writes, quote, "In teaching the letter of James, one should walk to the front of the room and write these words in big letters on a chalkboard. Read James." And then under that, the person then needs to write, "First, read James in light of James." That's exactly what we need to do. We need to let James be read in light of James. And when we do so, we find that there's no contradiction with Paul. Now, this is going to be a very quick flyover, but if we begin in James 1:22, there we read, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he is like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory." So notice that the theme has not really changed from the end of chapter 1 to chapter 2. James is still exhorting these believers to live in light of their profession of faith in Jesus. If you are just a hearer of the word but not a doer, you are deceiving yourselves. True religion, true faith in Jesus results in and is demonstrated by action. Be doers of the word, visiting orphans and widows in their affliction. So when we come to chapter 2, 14 to 26, we see a parallel argument. And really, this is all one big argument. James could have gone from 2:14 straight to verse 26, and the same point would have been made. He would have said, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him?" And then verse 26, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." But what he does is flesh it out a little bit more. And just like in chapter 1, he was contrasting being a doer of the word with a hearer of the word, here in chapter 2, the contrast is between the one who claims to have faith but has nothing to show for it, with the one who does have faith. And so you see there's continuity going on here. This means that James is not talking about how one is justified before God, but rather how true saving faith is evidenced by deeds, not as the grounds of their justification, but as the demonstration and result of their faith. And this is exactly what Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, where he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, and here it is, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." And so there is no contradiction between Paul and James. They are both talking about here, Paul in Ephesians and James here in James 2, that those who have faith, real faith, saving faith in Christ, that faith will be evidenced by what they do, by their works, by their actions. And just as Paul said there in Ephesians 2:10, that Christ, they were created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand that they should walk in them. Well, we'll come back more and talk about this right after our next song, which is by Shane and Shane called "Though You Slay Me."
Turn to the Lord, the one who's broken, the one who's torn me apart. You strike down to bind me up. You say you do it all in love, that I might know you in your suffering.
Not only is all your affliction momentary. Not only is all your affliction light in comparison to eternity and the glory there, but all of it is totally meaningful. Every millisecond of your pain from the fallen nature or fallen man, every millisecond of your misery in the path of obedience is producing a peculiar glory you will get because of that. I don't care if it was cancer or criticism. I don't care if it was slander or sickness. It wasn't meaningless. It's doing something. It's not meaningless. Of course you can't see what it's doing. Don't look to what is seen. When your mom dies, when your kid dies, when you got cancer at 40, when a car careens into the sidewalk and takes her out, don't say, it's meaningless. It's not. It's working for you an eternal weight of glory. Therefore, do not lose heart, but take these truths and day by day, focus on them. Preach them to yourself every morning. Get alone with God and preach His word into your mind until your heart sings with confidence that you are new and cared for.
Though you slay me, yet I will praise you. Though you take from me, I will bless your name. Though you ruin me, still I will worship, sing a song to the one who's all I need. I'll sing a song to the one who's all I need.
So, Michael, as we continue to look at the book of James, and particularly this chapter 2, you brought up the fact that people use this chapter to kind of say James is different, making a different point to Paul.
Yeah, that almost that he's contradicting Paul.
Yeah, but that's creating a false dichotomy, isn't it? It's setting up this idea that you can only be one thing or the other. There is no balance between the two.
Yeah, I mean, it is a false dichotomy. But it's, you know, it's one where they see, well, James is arguing the exact opposite of what Paul is. So Paul says you're justified by faith alone, and James says no, it's not by faith alone. So how can these things go together?
The thing that strikes me as I read through though chapter 2 is verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled which says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So Paul makes that exact same argument, doesn't he?
He does. Well, he doesn't make the same argument, but he uses the same verse within his own argument, right? So if we back up just a couple to verse 20, right, here's what James says. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And then the verse you read, and the scripture was fulfilled, that says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And so a lot of people will come to that verse and say, you see, James is really attacking Paul's argument, Paul's view of justification. But he's not. I mean, James is continuing his own line of argumentation. So verse 20, faith without works is useless. And then he uses Abraham to prove that point. So when he writes that Abraham was justified by works when he offered up Isaac, he does not mean in the sense of having a right standing before God, but rather as having his previously declared faith demonstrated by action. Right, and this is what he's been getting at all along. This was the point of verse 18 where he says, "Show me your faith apart from works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So hearing the word but not doing it is not true Christianity. Declaring yourself to be a Christian but having no actions to prove it is useless. And so he brings in that declaration about Abraham into his argument to prove that Abraham had faith because it was demonstrated by his works. All right, but Paul is using it in a different context. Paul's making an argument that it was on the basis of his faith alone that he justified, that he was given that standing before God.
But both are arguing against false religion. Both are arguing against the idea that you can make yourself right with God by your works, and you can simply declare yourself to be a Christian, which is what kind of James is kind of saying. Well, faith in and of itself is invisible. Mm. You know, you can say easily say, I am a Christian, I believe. And he goes to the nth degree by saying, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not enough to believe and tremble.
That's right. Yeah.
It's to believe in the one true God, that he has sent his only begotten son, and that you are justified on the basis of his work of dying on the cross of Calvary.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you can pay anybody to say, you know, I believe in Jesus, and, you know, they'll take the money and they could say it, but that doesn't mean their hearts have been changed, that nothing has happened to it. And so, you know, the demonstration of their faith is proven by the actions that result from it. And so, you know, if there is no action, if there is no works, if somebody's just a hearer but not a doer, then, you know, James is basically saying that's worthless. That's a worthless religion. You can say it all you want. You can say, yeah, I believe in God, but if there's nothing that comes from it, then that's a useless religion.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? That he's kind of on the same lines as John, because, you know, John uses the argument, well, if you say you love God and don't love love your brother, whom you can't see, and you do not love your brothers whom you can see, then how can you say that you are truly a child of God? Mm-hmm. So it's by proven actions that we are shown to be justified.
Mm. Yeah.
Is really what he's saying.
Yeah, that's it. And I mean, just read through James 2, 14 to 26, and how many times do you read, you know, I will show you, or you show me. I mean, we're talking all about the showing, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's a demonstration that this is true faith. I mean, and so there's no contradiction with Paul, because that's exactly what Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, right? So that the believers were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that they should walk in them. So that the faith results in the works, to prove, to demonstrate, to show that they have true saving faith.
Yes, but that's the difference, isn't it? It's not just faith in anything, but it's saving faith. It's actual faith which is working that great and eternal glory. It's that idea that you're working, the faith is in what God has promised, just as Abraham believed God, and therefore it's the same promise that Abraham believed in is the same promise that we believe in, except that we have the proof of it in Christ's death on the cross. But the belief that God will justify on the basis of the sacrifice of his son.
Mm. That's right. I mean, James is not just saying, oh yeah, you can have faith in anything, right? It's a specific faith in Christ. And that, you know, he even calls him in the beginning of chapter 2 here, the Lord of glory. And so for both Paul and for James, faith has to be rooted in Jesus, who bore their sins on his body. And he will bear your sins on his body. If you believe in him, you trust in him, have faith in him, he will take those sins and he will bear the punishment that is due us. And you will be free. You will be blameless before God on that final day. And yes, you may go through sufferings and trials, but as we saw earlier, you know, there's this otherworldly, upside down, backwards way of thinking in God's kingdom. And so we are able to count it all joy, knowing that it is for our good. It's making us more like Christ, and it's bringing us to that point where we can stand with him.
Well, Michael, as usual, the time is not our friend on this show, but we have come to the end of another edition of Heart of the Matter on Dundalk FM, your community, your radio. We have coming up later the repeat of Town Talk from this morning, but it just remains for me to say good night and God bless.
Good night.
And we close with a song called by Third Day called King of Glory.
This King of Glory that pursues me with his love and haunts me with each hearing of his softly spoken words. My conscience a reminder of forgiveness there.